Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Wednesday, October 9th, 2024, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 52, the first paragraph. But in most fields, our generation, through one paragraph ending, which does not work for something new, which does. Commenting on this one paragraph today. Today's readers, 12 steps, Letty G., 12 traditions, Blair S. Readers of the text, Shelley E., Kara L., and Ann S.C.H. The reference number for Tuesday, October 8th, 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 21,811. That's 21811. And for this morning, Wednesday, October 9th, 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 21,813. That's 21813. Our newcomer greeter this morning is Yvonne A., and Eileen M. will do the announcements. Thank you to everyone providing service for this meeting. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which are suggested as a program of recovery. I'll now ask Letty G. to read the 12 steps of OA.
Good morning. I'm Letty G., and these are the 12 steps. I'm a compulsive overeater in recovery. Number one, we admitted we are powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I just wish everybody a beautiful Wednesday. Thank you.
Bye. Thank you so much, Letty G. I'll now ask Blair S. to read the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Star 1, Blair.
Oh, sorry, I thought I had figured that out. Okay. Hi, good morning. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he expresses himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups, or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service.
Thank you so much, Blair S. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 52, the first paragraph, but in most fields, our generation, through one paragraph ending, which does not work for something new which does, commenting on this one paragraph today. And I'll now ask Shelley E. to read and then share with us.
Thanks so much. Good morning. Good morning, my fellows. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Petoskey, Michigan. Page 52 of the Big Book. But in most fields, our generation has witnessed complete liberation of our thinking. Show any longshoreman a Sunday supplement describing a proposal to explore the moon by means of a rocket, and he will say, I bet they do it. Maybe not so long either. Is not our age characterized by the ease with which we discard old ideas for new? Is not our age characterized by the ease with which we discard old ideas for new, by the complete readiness with which we throw away the theory or gadget which does not work for something new, which does? I don't know why I struggled with the last question. But, boy, they had no idea, did they, of the things that were to come. When I first read this, and they told me yesterday that I was going to have this paragraph, I thought, I want the next paragraph. But then I started rereading this paragraph, and I thought, you know, this is about the time in this chapter where I started really realizing that I was playing God. I was very secure, quote unquote, with my belief in God and where I was with God until I started this chapter. And this chapter showed me pockets and lots of pockets as to where I was taking control and I was stepping in front of God, taking over the reins, and thought I was in control. And I mean, even in the kindest of gestures, you know, even just trying to tell people what, you know, might be the best thing that they should do instead of minding my own business. I had no idea that I was all in all an agnostic. I would worry about my children all the time. I would, you know, try and tell my parents what they needed to do. I really just thought I knew better. I didn't realize that by doing these things, I was playing God. And this is about the time where I start realizing, maybe I need to shut up, sit down, and listen. It wasn't until my step four when I really started, when I started writing things down that I thought, oh gosh, I blamed all these people for all these things. And I truly was the whirling dervish in the room. But about here is where I realized, I really need to start looking at this. Because before that, I didn't realize how this book or a higher power was going to help me, lose weight or even go forward. I didn't see the connection. But it's in this chapter that I do. And I have written by this paragraph, what am I unwilling to give to God? And why am I unwilling to give that to God? And what would God have me be? Apparently, that's what my sponsor had me write in the paragraph, in the side panel in preparation for the next paragraph. So I look forward to what everybody has to say about this. I know for myself, things really started making sense at this point. And I had to throw away the old, go forward, and be willing to look at, take on the new, and realize that I was not in charge. And thank God there's somebody else in charge, and my life has never been the same from that point on. With that, I'll pass. And, you guys have a great day.
Oh, thank you so much, Shelley E., for getting us started. And I'm now going to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So if you haven't shared at any Vision for You meeting in the last couple days, if you'd like to share with us, we'd love to hear from you.
Anne S.C.H.
Anne S.C.H. Who is that?
Veronica B.
Veronica B. Who else would like to share? Okay, let's start with Anne and Veronica. Oh, who is that?
Oh, Mary G.
Mary G. Very good. All right. We'll have Anne, S.C.H., Veronica B., and Mary G. Anne, go ahead. It's your 3 minutes.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. I'm Anne, S.C.H., a recovered overeater in B.C., Canada. To me, this paragraph is all about hope. Long-term overeater, in and out of program over a span of about 40 years. Not something that I'm proud of. I guess for me, it's like coming back every time with the hope that maybe this time I would get it. And probably the biggest thing about getting it was the fact that I couldn't quite, as a person that went to church and believed in God, this particular chapter was always a mystery to me. And it's only in the recent last year that I've come to understand, or in the last couple of years, come to understand that it's really a daily thing for me now in my understanding. When I first relapsed, it was a 15-year relapse, gained it back about 120 pounds or so. And it took me about 15 years to get back into program. And in doing so, was the first time I really kind of, when I started working the steps, was understood that that I can't handle my own addiction. And that is like, it's every morning when I get up, it's turning that, submitting myself over to God. That he's got my issue with food. He's got my problems with food. He's got the solution to my problems with food. And it's just total reliance upon him. And as a consequence of doing that, when I was able to finally do that, it wasn't like one size fits all and forever and ever, just do it once and that's it. For me, it was a, and this is only really in recent days now, and I've been working the steps for actively for the past year, but I've been out of the food and have released all that weight many years ago now. But it's taken me this long to, for my mind, for all that stuff that was in my head to finally clear out. And through the grace of God, being able to understand that, you know, hope is something that I look for every day. And my time is up, and with that I pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you so much, Anne SCH from Canada. Veronica B., it's your turn to share, followed by Mary G.
Hi, good morning. My name is Veronica B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater living in Los Angeles. And thank you so much for your service this morning. And I really just want to focus in on, you know, what it says. But in most fields, our generation has witnessed complete liberation of our thinking. Like, I just love that, complete liberation of our thinking. For me, being a compulsive overeater is all about, you know, my thinking, how I process information, you know, what lenses am I looking through on a day-to-day living, the fact that I have allergy to certain foods. You know, I am not a normal eater when it comes to, you know, my eating and my thinking, for that matter. And, you know, I looked up liberation thinking, and it says free from acting and thinking upon one's thoughts and beliefs. So that means, like, I have to really put aside everything that I think I know about myself, about this program, about my higher power, and I have to keep an open mind. If I am to stay recovered, I have to keep an open mind because things change and they're constantly changing. And this is where, like, I have to just put my trust in God every day because, you know, I'm on this path of recovery and, you know, growing in, you know, love and tolerance. But I have to keep trusting God so I can stay on this path. If not, like, I get off the track. I get off this path, and I have to just keep saying throughout the day, like, God, I trust you. God, I trust you. You know, that way I get back on his path, not my path. My path is, you know, self-will and, like, getting revenge on a best friend who, you know, hurt my feelings 2 weeks ago, and I still can't let it go. You know, because I choose to want to stay in that, you know, that ugliness. That's my path. But I have to just keep saying, God, I trust you. I trust you, God. And God is the one that changes my thinking by just, you know, taking different actions. It's like, it doesn't matter what I think or feel. It matters what I do. And eventually my heart will, you know, follow. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Veronica B. from California. Mary G., it's your turn to share. And if you're just joining us, quick reminder, we're on page 52, that first paragraph, starting with, in most fields, our generation, through one paragraph ending, which does not work for something new, which does. So Mary G., please share, and then I'll be taking a list of more names.
Good morning. This is Mary G. I'm right outside Chicago, Illinois. As I read this paragraph, you know, it talks about our generation has witnessed complete liberation of our thinking. So in the previous paragraphs, it talks about how, you know, the ancients were so terrified of the material, and the spiritual was so easily accepted. And then as time goes on, it almost does a flip. And we become so much more ready to believe the material And then the spiritual is kind of like, I don't know. We don't have any evidence for that. I want some, you know, I want some visual evidence. And in this paragraph, it's kind of saying some people so easily are able to accept, you know, this new theory or gadget, the new thing, and throw away the ideas of the past. So how does this relate to program? I don't want to use the word critical, but I was a little leery of the spiritual. I was kind of had that idea. Is this all true? Is it really going to work? I have no evidence. And it was always that whole line, which is so cliche, but that whole fake it until you make it. I did that and it worked. It's crazy how this works. I just took direction. I followed the steps. And suddenly things started to change, and I know it was not me. I was not doing this. So right there for me, that was my evidence. It may not have been completely visual, but I felt it, and I knew God was doing for me what I could not do for myself. So that's kind of what I gathered from this paragraph. Have an open mind and just give it a chance. And it's amazing what, you know, can come from working this program. And with that, I pass.
Oh, thank you so much, Mary G. from Illinois. And I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us? Press star 1.
Mary Ellen T.
Mary Ellen.
Wendy
Barbara
M.
W.
Washington. Barbara W.
Deb F.
Deb F. And there was a Wendy M., I believe.
Yeah. Thanks.
Carly V.
Carly B.
V.
Oh, Carly V.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? All right, let's go ahead. I have Mary Ellen T., Barbara W., Deb F., Wendy M., and Carly V. Go ahead, Mary Ellen, please share with us.
Good morning. My name is Mary Ellen T. Zantango, and I live in Corvallis, Oregon. And I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And I'm abstinent just one day at a time is how I have really learned that it's important for me to approach my recovery. And it's been really necessary for me to continue to dig in my recovery process to find ways that I need to change my thinking. But, you know, the problem is that I don't really get to change my thinking. My thinking changes because I start becoming more willing to let go of what has not been serving me. And I let go because of pain. And then I also let go because of prayer. And that's something I've learned recently is that humans will change under these two conditions. And it's either through pain or it's through prayer. And it's funny how I for myself often end up using pain as the avenue in which change starts to take place within me. But regardless, I'm grateful. And I'm so grateful to know now that I can use prayer as a, and I can say that because I've seen just miraculous things happen in my recovery journey since studying the big book and going through the steps a lot of times. And some of the thinking that's needed to change for me is, you know, trying to find ways to make, you know, food items work for me. You know, they weren't sexy or appealing. I just didn't really realize that I was still a slave to them. you know, having false beliefs or not having enough of a faith to realize that it's a miracle that frees me. And it's really only happening because I have this willingness to change. And I think that I love that spiritual appendix in the back, because it reminds me that, you know, that I get to be blessed with the miracle and that it's available for me too. I just have to have that belief. And this paragraph's great because, you know, it's a statement of hope, you know, the hope that there's this ability to change, and given that I'm open to the new idea. And that's what the Big Book teaches us, is that, you know, we have, you know, some essential requirements, which are to be open and honest and willing, and to not be closed-minded. And so I just pray that God remove me from the insanity of my own thinking and the lies that my disease will tell me, because I'm powerless over that. I really can't change it. It's been just the miracle of this recovery and coming to believe in the power greater than myself is restoring me to sanity. That's it for me. I pass.
Thank you so much, Mary Ellen T. from Oregon. Barbara W., it's your turn to share, followed by Deb F.
Good morning. I'm Barbara W. From Seattle, and I am a recovered compulsive overeater. Oh, boy. The thing that jumped out to me the most was, you know, changing my beliefs based on what I need right now instead of what I needed when I was a child in my family, of origin. There was nothing wrong with what I went, that they had a faith community they went to, that I was raised in, and that, you know, I was married in, and the whole thing. And I grew to, in program, I grew to see that what that was about wasn't wrong. It was just different from the way my mind was starting to think. My mind was opening up to, I'm not a child anymore. I'm an adult. I have children. And eventually, as my children grew up, I started to see, with my disease being so rampant and having so much control over me, or I let it have control over me, it was up to me to have the willingness to search or to open up my mind to other things. And I'm not sure how it started, how I came to believe the way I believe now, but it's so aligned with the 12-step program that I could not turn away, because it supported the importance of me as an individual and how much I needed other people to help me through my disease or my change in belief. And it's very hard sometimes for me to even explain what I believe to other people. Well, they say, are you so-and-so? And I say, well, this is what I believe. And I had come to realize that it didn't matter what they thought of me, as long as I was sincere and truthful and said this was, people could see the change in me. When I had gone through the 12 steps and shared my story and sponsored, and people began to see that it mattered to me, and not as a I know it all kind of thing, but it's my truth, what I believe in. And this is what has carried me through these last few years, and I'm a senior citizen now. And it's okay. What I believe is okay, and it's helping me. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Barbara W. from Washington. Deb F., it's your turn to share, followed by Wendy M.
Hello, everybody, and thank you, moderator. And this is Deb F., recovered in Texas. And I can, from this reading and from the shares, what I can glean from all of it is that I never, my old ideas, I could never conceive of ever leaving the food behind, because how could I do that? I could never do that. So I was just basing it on myself, you know? How can I do that? It's my old ideas. It just, you know, I can't, you know, and would I take direction? No, I didn't. I didn't want to take direction. I didn't want to take suggestions. I just wanted to do what I'd always been doing, you know, and please support me in that, you know, poor sponsor, you know, please support me in that. And, you know, so once I started seeing that I was getting consistent responses across the board, with my situations and trying to work a program, and you know, that I realized, well, maybe I have to change. Maybe I have to change my focus. Yes, and so from that, I started taking direction. So you know, like. I came with my own ideas, and stayed, and, you know, gradually my old ideas disappeared as I saw, the beauty of putting the food down and taking direction and, working the steps. And by the way, in the big book at this point, you know, even though we've been presented with, you know, people's, you know, going through the steps, this is still step one. And step one means I'm powerless, and I'm powerless over trying to control my food. I'm powerless over trying to control my thinking. But when I turn everything over to my higher power, whom I call God, Jesus Christ, you know, then it's like a transformation happens. You know, I'm willing to sit and wait and wait on God instead of jump into action, which always didn't serve me. But the actions here, you know, where I make my outreach and help others and work on my steps, do my 10 steps, be aware of when I make mistakes and amend those through seeing what God would have me be, that's where there's the change. So with all that, I pass. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Deb F. from Texas. Wendy M., it's time for your 3 minutes, followed by Carly V.
Yes, good morning, Dawn. Thank you for your service always. Wendy M., recovered in Boulder, Colorado. I couldn't say no to this paragraph, right? Okay, the most beautiful words, complete liberation of our thinking. The greatest gift that I get from this program, and it's, you know, isn't that I have a normal body size, isn't that I sort of get along with people now, isn't that I have a purpose in my life to be useful to other addicts. That's not it. It's this liberation of thinking. It's waking up in the morning and having these old thoughts that don't work and having a design for living where I get to get on my knees and then I get to write two-way prayer to God. And God says, let's open up that thinking. You know, and I joke that my program before this program, right, my life was a program of no. No, I don't think I agree with you. No, I'm pretty sure I'm right. No, I've got fixed ideas. No, I'm stuck in my mind. I didn't know that. My life was so teeny. My mind was so small, right? And what I get today is a yes program. Yes. That's a good idea. Yes, I'm going to open my mind to it. Yes, I will set aside everything I think I know. That is the greatest gift we can get, right? Because our thinking is where the problem resides. My son is currently dropping out of college. And the old Wendy, the no Wendy, would say, okay, this is a real problem. I mean, we're Jewish. We invented college, right? College is like our thing. You must hold on to it. And God's like, you need to come from an entirely different angle. You get to come from an entirely different angle today. You get to have liberation of your thinking. Because when I'm in no, God is saying we need to do a yes. we need to do yes. This is exactly what your son needs. Or the other day, I'm talking to a gentleman on the phone, and he's an engineer, and he talks different than me, and he's got a different perspective, and he's not me, right? So the program I had before this program was people had to be Wendy. You had to be me. You had to reflect all of my ideas, or else I would have prejudice and reject you. But it was the coolest thing. I was talking to this person on the phone, and I'm like, God, come on. He's an engineer. And God says, be quiet and listen. I'm giving you a gift. And I opened my mind and I thought, wow, this person thinks differently than I do, and how fascinating that is. And that's sort of what I've been experiencing now all the time, because this program is, for me, is about growing up. And so yes is a grown-up word. Yes is I'm open to your ideas. I'm open to what you're thinking. And thank God I get to get out of my mind, right? Because that is not helpful. My mind is not helpful. But what about you? What are you thinking? What is that person? Oh, they're voting different than you? Fabulous. Find out about how they think, what they're thinking, right? Because my thoughts, of course, like all of us, do not work for us. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Wendy M. from Colorado. So we're talking about page 52 today, that first paragraph, but in most fields, our generation through one paragraph ending, which does not work for something new, which does. And so after Carly V shares, I'll be taking a list of more names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. So Carly V, it's your turn to share with us, and please let us know where you're calling from.
Thank you. I'm Carly V, and I'm calling from Michigan. I'm a compulsive overeater. Thanks for letting me share today. This is the whole program is that spiritual transformation and setting our old ways of thinking and learning new ways of thinking, and that involves, inviting God in and that relationship with higher power. And I had to have that willingness, some of that willingness just to start on the steps, but then, to truly do the steps. There's lots of what's in this paragraph, I guess, just in the program. But what I wanted to say, I guess, was just daily actions, how much I still have to so focus on setting aside what I think I know and my old ways of thinking for a new experience. And the tools of the program and the steps, they help me to do that. But like today, for example, for whatever reason, I'm just feeling like anxious and just more anxious than normal, more overwhelmed, not as good of a mental place. And my old way of being, my old way of thinking, I would go to the food for comfort. I would kind of avoid all the things that are overwhelming me. I definitely would not be getting on a call right now because I feel like hiding. Definitely wouldn't be making outreach calls. Definitely wouldn't be sharing that with any of these things with strangers. But I'm looking to set aside those old ways of being. And here I am putting myself out there and sharing this with all of you guys because I want to, just have a new experience. And that's what working the steps, and that's what this program and building that relationship with God has been doing for me. And in doing that, I get, different results instead of being in the food and staying in this anxious place and, and more often than I get it now. Instead of, all the shame that goes with the food, instead of the conflict with relationships and the obsession of the mind about food, but also just about fear and about other things in my life. I have more and more new experiences of love and peace in my relationships, of the fear being lifted and being able to focus on contributing to the world around me instead of hiding or, just on myself, for example. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Carly V. from Michigan. Great shares today, and I'm now going to take a list of names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us?
Margaret O.,
Connecticut.
Margaret O. Who else would like to share? Press star one.
Kara L.
Kara L.
Shirley R.
Shirley R. Okay, let's go with that lineup. I have Margaret O., Kara L., and Shirley R. Margaret O., it's your 3 minutes. Please share with us.
Hi, this is Margaret O. from Stamford, Connecticut. Thanks for your service and everyone being here. So I have always been spiritual / religious, and I continue to be. But this connection with higher power is something completely different. And I guess I've clung to the religious part of it, you know, kind of for dear life. Like, okay, I don't want to make a mistake and I don't want to take a wrong path. So in my mind, I always think, okay, I'm, you know, going to follow a moral life and I'm going to do what makes sense and so forth and plan and anticipate, you know, avert disaster. But I was listening to something yesterday or the day before that was talking about taking step two from the heart, you know, that really letting it sink in and believing it. And I'm kind of losing my voice a little bit. And I realized that I'm really a controlling person. That's a character defect. And that is so rooted in, for me, in fear and in pride. And I don't want those things, you know, running the show. And I don't want to be running the show. And I heard in a Ruth M. talk on Came to Believe, Step Two, she was saying, just the willingness to believe that a power greater than me can run the show causes a change to happen. And I wrote that down because it's really true that the acting as if, I mean, it doesn't make sense, you know, like for a planner and someone who's in, you know, in their head to do that, to act as if, but it does work. And I said a small prayer last evening after my, you know, legit evening snack, abstinent day, just wanted another snack, like just want another snack. And I'm walking in the kitchen and I'm taking something out of the fridge. And I stood there and I said, okay, God, you know, I'm powerless. So if you don't want this to go forward, then, you know, it won't. And I remembered something someone else had, I heard them say, was just do something else. So I just walked out of the kitchen. It's like, okay, I knew in my heart it was wrong to do. And it was like, I don't want to go there, but I'm getting pulled there, you know? And I thought, okay, turn around, walk out of the kitchen. I went over to my laptop and I got online and ordered something to buy, you know, something from L.L. Bean, you know, and it helped. It diverted my attention. And thank God I was able to just go to bed after that. It's like, I'm tired, you know, it's 9:30. It's time to tuck in. And thank God, because I am powerless over food and over my thinking around food and always wanting it to be a security blanket. It is not. It is an enemy that I need to toss off into the corner and put a blowtorch on. So, you know, it'll nourish me and I'll have it for that reason. Time. But that's all. Thank you.
Thank you, Margaret O. from Connecticut. Kara L., it's your turn to share. Star one, Kara.
Good morning. This is Kara L. I'm a recovering compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Thank you for everybody giving service today and everybody who shared today, speaking to my mind. And I'm really meditating on this point of where in my life am I being agnostic? Where in my life do I feel like my intellect is dominating? And I, you know, when I do a step 10 inventory, you know, what is most of the character defect I see? Well, one of them that always comes up is, where do I have a fixed mindset? You know, where do I think I know was right? I think it has to be this way. And that often comes up, you know, instead of being a fixed mindset, where can I be in a growth mindset? Where can I just sit back and say, you know, higher power, I don't know the answer here. Please give me the intuitive thought, inspiration, or decision. And then, you know, like I heard earlier, it's like, then I trust that I will be helped, you know, and days that are struggly and hard sometimes, you know, I think that trust is so important, but so difficult, you know. And that's where working the steps and my morning routine and my evening routine and coming into meetings, the consistency of using the tools in this program help me on days that I don't trust, you know. I'd love to say that I'd wake up every morning going, all right, today, God, this is your day, and I'd be straight in it. And some days I just have to say, I'm struggling today, God, and to the best of my ability, I'm going to stop throughout the day again, and I'm going to say this day is yours. Because left to my own devices, I really want to control everything, and I really want to know everything, and I can't. I'm human, so I'm, you know, kind of banging my head against a wall every time I keep trying to manipulate all of the puppets in the theater or be the director. You know, when I step back and I say, all right, God, feels like a lot of weight on my shoulders today. Can you lift it? You know, God, can you make this day easy, God? Or sometimes it's just, whatever, God, I'm playing in your playground. With that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Kara L. And Shirley, we have about a minute for you to share. So, star one, Shirley.
Hi. I'm struggling. I seem to be unwilling to let go of my old way of thought when it comes to my sister. And I would appreciate your prayers and support. Thank you. Pass.
Shirley, do you want to let us know where you're calling from? Okay, maybe. All right. Well, thank you so much. And we're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kara L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning, this is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.